Outside for Parshas Emor, which we read yesterday here in Eretz Yisrael, they're not up to it yet in Chutz Laaretz. So those who are traveling have a little bit of a challenge. In any event, what I want to share with you is an analysis of the first section of Parshas Emor. And if you recall, the Torah formulates what I call the most profound and basic Isur that applies to Kohen, because Kohenim are sanctified with what we call Kedushas Kohuna. So the Torah says in the opening line, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor al HaKohenim b'nei Aaron, V'yamarta aleihem l'nefesh lo yitama bi'amav. What Isur is being formulated here in the Torah? Anybody help me with that?
Tumas Mes,
correct. So is a Kohen allowed to enter into a cemetery?
Yeah.
No. Then the Torah goes along and formulates in the next series of about five psukim the exception to the rule. And that is cases, situations in which indeed a Kohen is mitami lemes. And those are called what?
Sheva Krovim.
Krovim. And the Krovim themselves divide up into two fundamental categories. What are those two categories? What is called She'er Basa, which means blood relatives, and what's the other case that he's Mitami Lemes, even though she's not related to him?
A wife,
correct. So those are the two categories in which the Torah, number one, allows and permits the Kohen to be Mitami Lemes, but we'll see soon that not only is the Torah allowing it, the Torah is requiring it, insisting, correct. And it's a chiyuv, it's not just a reshus. And we're going to see that's a sugya in Shas. But before that, I just want to raise a few questions, if you'll allow me to do so. Yeah, Doc?
You have no choice.
Okay, good. You have a choice. You can leave. Okay. Okay, my first question is, how do you define a Kohen? Just a simple answer. What makes a person a Kohen? And I'm not talking about paying a check to a reformed rabbi. How do you become a Kohen?
Son of a Kohen.
His father's a Kohen, right? Don't I know that? Why does the Torah feel compelled to write, El HaKohenim B'nei Aaron? Is the Torah trying to teach me something by insisting that the Kohen is a Ben Aaron? That's one of the questions which is very common in the Mefarshim. It's not something that I created. I don't want to take credit for it. But I think we might have an ability to shed a new light on the significance of Bnei Aaron, this addition of those two words.
Well, just said Pinchas. I think he wasn't a Bnei Aaron. He got a
special bris kunas ol. Now my second question is the following, and this is a very simple question, very simple, but yet I want to put it on the table. The answer is very simple but very fundamental. In halachic terms, what engenders, what reality or halachic entity that generates the Isur Tumas mess of a Kohen? What's that called in one word? It's an Isur, but what engenders the Isur?
Death.
No. I'm asking, there's a Kohen,
right,
and what's antithetical to Kohuna is Tumah. What is it about a Kohen, you know, other than the fact that his last name is Joe Kohen, right, his name is Kohen, that makes Tumah antithetical?
Kedush.
And here's my third question. Now, we know within Kohuna there are two levels of Kedusha. The basic level, which is your rank and file Kohen, that's called the Kohen Hedjot. And then we have a higher level of Kedusha called the Kohen
God.
That's clear. But my question is, leave out Kohuna for a moment, whether you're talking about Kohen Hedjot, Kohen God, leave that on the side. Is there another individual in the Torah who likewise has Kedusha and likewise has an Isur Tumas Mes, meaning that Tumas Mes is antithetical to this person insofar as he too has Kedusha? Who do I have in mind?
Nazir.
The Nazir. And this leads me to my next question, which is a very tricky kind of question. Not tricky in the sense that I'm trying to trick you, but tricky in the sense that it's a very, very profound question. Very profound. It has tremendous halachic implications. which kedusha is greater, that of a kohen or that of a nasi?
Nazir's kedusha only lasts for a short period of time.
Okay, that's good, but that's a little bit too sophisticated for me. I was hoping that you would quote to me a pasuk in Chumash. Where's the parasha of Nazir? Right? In Nasa, right? Let Nasa. So if you fast forward to Parshas Nasa, to the parasha of Nazir, you'll see something very interesting. The Torah says, if you open up to Bamidvar Vav, Pasuk Vav, so it's 6-6, I guess you'd say, right? Vav Vav. It says, Kol Yimei He Zero Lashem, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. Any surprises there? No surprises. I mean, this is exactly what we would have anticipated insofar as Nazir shares Kedusha that we found already in Kohen. And just like the Torah has told us at the beginning of Parashas Emor that Tumas Mes is antithetical to Kedusha, I would have applied the same theoretical principle, the same abstract principle, to the case of a Nazir. There too, Tumas Mes is antithetical to Kedushas Nazir. But let's look at Pasuk Zayin. And here we see a Gevaldige Chiddush. The Torah says, Li aviv uli imo li achiv ulachoso lo yitam alahem b'mosam. In other words, the Kedusha, in other words, if I want to gauge Kedusha, my barometer for evaluating Kedusha on the, you know, on the hierarchy of Kedusha is the Iser Tumas Mes, and how extensive and inclusive is the Kedusha, is the Iser Tumas Mes. Again, if my levels of Kedusha go from, you know, 0 to 100, and I'm trying to, on this scale, you know, define which Kedusha is greater, for example, that of a Nazir and that of a Kohen, well, my barometer should be, to what extent does the Torah establish that Tumas Mes is antithetical to that Kedusha? The greater the Kedusha, the more repulsive is Tumas Mes, if you follow my point. And in the case of a Kohen, we find that the Torah allows a certain permissibility, a certain liberal flexibility with regard to that Tumas Mes, allowing for Tumas Mes in the case of Kvuras Krovin. But in the case of a Nazir, by virtue of his Kedusha, to what extent, how far is the Torah going to prohibit Tumas Mes? Is it that kind of an Issa that lends itself to a Heter, and it's a limited with a lot of permissibility, namely, let's apply the principle that we found in Kahuna, in which the Kohen, I'm going to use the term, is allowed to be Metame. Again, you all know that that's not really true. He's obligated to be Metame himself. But that's not my point right now. And that's a whole different shiur. But my point is that the Torah permitted the Kohen to be Metame for the sake of Kvura Zayin Krovim. In the case of Nazir, what does the Torah say?
No.
It seems that the Kedusha of Nazir then is explicitly in the Torah supersedes that of a Kohen. And by the way, I'm not the only crazy nut who thought of this. Rabbi Eliezer in Masechta Nazir on Daf Mem Zayin insists that the Kedusha of a Nazir is greater than that of a Kohen. And why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says that if... Wait, let me just backtrack. There's one case in which not only is a Kohen allowed and obligated to be Metami himself for a mess, but even a Nazir is Metami himself to a mess. What's that? Mes Mitzvah, correct? Says Rabbi Eliezer, there are two people walking on a road, and they chance upon a body that has to be buried, that's called a Mes Mitzvah. Says Rabbi Eliezer, Yitame Kohen v'al Yitame Nazir. The Kohen should be Metame and not the Nazir. The words of Rabbi Eliezer sort of resonated in my ears. Al Yitame Nazir. Even in the case of Mes Mitzvah, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is the Torah going to permit the Nazir to be Metame himself for Mes Mitzvah? That's the Efshal Yidei Achirim. There's no other option. But if there's another possibility, even if it means the Kohen is going to violate or desecrate his Kedushas Kahuna, we're going to opt for that because Al Yitame Nazir. So what I submit to you, again, we're going to see the Shitas Chachamim in a minute, and Siddhi, you're probably, together with me, on the page of the Chachamim. But let's, you know, when we learn Torah, we always want to appreciate all opinions, Elu v'Elu. Let's just enjoy for a moment the taste of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar is saying that if you compare the two parshiyos, you know, just all you have to do is hold these few pages and compare what he has, what it says here at the beginning of Emor, that's by Yikra Chaf Aleph, with Bamidbar Vav. It's almost crystal clear. You have to be a dumbbell not to see it in front of your eyes, that Kedushas Nazir supersedes that of Kedushas Kohen. And therefore, if it's a choice, who has to go down the tube, so to speak, and desecrate his Kedusha through Tumah, contact with the mess, Al Yitami Nazir, don't even dream that a Nazir would do so. And keep in mind, even a Kohen Gadol, who's enjoying from Tumah for the Zayim Krovim, in other words, his Kedusha is sort of similar to that of a Nazir on the high level, and he too is allowed and obligated to be Mitami. A Kohen Gadol has to be imagine, I always imagine the following scenario. A Kohen Gadol during the Zayim Yimei Heksher or Prisha before Yom HaKippurim has been preparing day and night for the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. He's anticipating the high point of his year, perhaps even the high point of his life. And he's on his way to the Beis HaMikdash and he sees a mess. What's the law? There's no one there to bury. Only the Kohen Gadol. He buries. What does that mean? He forfeits the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Okay, fine. But let me dramatize it. You know who this mess is? He's a Rasha. He's an evildoer. I am a Kohen Gadol. I'm about to implement the greatest avodah, the most glorious moment in my life, in the life of Klal Yisrael. And I have to be mitami for this mess mitzvah. But anyway, let's get back on track. So both of
the Kohen's got a standby, so it's not the
evildoer. Alright, there's a scan. You know.
He was made it a little bit, not for Amishal.
Right. Although the scan, you should know, it's interesting, the Mishnah says that the scan does not undergo the 7 days of preparation. It's in Kate England over soft. So, you know, the scan is in baseball, we have what's called the bullpen, you know, where the pitchers, you know, that might be called upon, you know, are throwing pitches, you know, but they're not as good as the original pitcher. And how much more so if they didn't practice, you know. So anyway, scan is a knapper default position. But my point is that I'd like to understand the Chachamim in Nazir Mem Zayin. They insist, no, Kedushas Kohuna is greater than that of a Nazir, and therefore Yitame Nazir, in this case of Mes Mitzvah, V'al Yitame Kohen. How does that work? So the Gemara asks, my time of the Chachamim, or my time of the Rabbi Lazar, and the Gemara gives the following analysis. What's the deal if a Kohen or Nazir is Mitami himself? Now, if he violated this Avera B'mezid, that's one category. In both cases, if there was Edim and Asra, the whole nine yards, they get Malchus. Huh. Now let's flip into a different mode. It was a case of Shogeg. Inadvertently, whatever happened by mistake, the Kohen was Mitami himself B'Shogeg. Again, there was no Mes Mitzvah situation, there was no Krovin, nothing. And the Nazir was Mitami himself.
So if he's a Mes Mitzvah, then it's not the Shogeg.
Correct. But I'm talking about a case where, whatever it is, he didn't realize that there was a mess there, that was buried there was no Tziyun Kever, etc., etc. It's Shogeg, a classical case of Shogeg. Here there's a fundamental difference, and this is the argument of Rabbi Lazar and Nazir, between a Kohen and a Nazir. What's the deal if a Nazir is Mitami himself Bishogik? Anybody know?
He starts again,
and what else?
And he brings a carbon.
A Kohen does not bring a carbon. Says Rabbi Lazar, the very fact that with regard to Tumas Mes, the Torah is so harsh in the case of a Nazir, that the Nazir has to bring a carbon, is the fire. Therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, we must conclude that Tumas Nazir is more severe, more harsh than Tumas Kohen. A Kohen does not bring a carbon if he's Mitami himself for Shogeg. And therefore, I submit to you in the case of Mes Mitzvah, Yitame Kohen, V'al Yitame Nazir. comes along the Chachamim and they say the Svara that I think, Sidney, you were saying earlier. And that is that a Kohen is Mileda, from his birth he is a Kohen. And not only that, his Kedusha is a Kedushas Ola. It is not transitory, it never terminates, as opposed to a Nazir. Again, there are many different types of Nazir. There is such a thing as a Nazir Ola, but that's only because the Nazir, through his commitment, he continues his Nazirs. But Nazirs per se, in and of itself, if we isolate it, is not Nazirus Olam, but it's Nazirus L'Shah. Shah, again, the word Shah doesn't mean literally an hour, but rather it means it's transitory, it's temporary, and it has a termination period. So again, let's just summarize. Who should be metame himself to this mess? According to Rabbi Lazar, let the Kohen be metame himself, the Aliyah Tami Nazir. Haraya, the Torah is more harsh with regard to Tumas Nazir than Tumas Kohen. He's Chayav a carbon, the Kohen is not Chayav a carbon. The Chachomim say, Yitame Nazir, the Aliyah Tami Kohen, because a Kohen has Kedusha Mileda, and that's a Kedushas Olam. The Nazir was makabel on himself, self-accepted Nazirus. The Kedusha was brought upon himself voluntarily, and it's limited in time. So here we have a fundamental machlokus between the greats of the Tanoim in answering the following question: whose Kedusha is greater, that of a Kohen or that of a Nazir? Who's going to be metamius?
And anyway, the Nazir can repeat it, so he's not really losing out. He's lost out for that moment. But he'll start
again. Hayomim Harishonim Yif. You've all heard of the Socket Shover, yeah. The Avni Nezer. Frek the Avni Nezer, I don't understand. How could the Chachamim claim that Kedushas Kahuna supersedes that of Kedushas Nazir when the Torah allows the Kohen to be metame himself to Zion Krovim? In the case of a Nazir, the Torah says he's enjoined from being metame himself to the Zion Krovim. Clearly, the Kedusha of a Nazir is greater and harsher than that of a Kohen. So again, even though the Chachamim have a very valid argument from the fact that Kedushas Kahuna is Kedushas Olam, I grant you that, but the Psukim and the laws formulated by the Torah just don't bail out the Chachamim. As we would say in Yiddish Pukfaker, the exact opposite conclusion is to be drawn, namely, that Kedushas Kahuna, as far as Tuma is concerned, is a lower level of Kedusha than that of Nazir. So if you have a choice, who should be metame himself to this mess mitzvah, send the Kohen. Don't send the Nazir. The Torah is very, very harsh with the Nazir. The Torah says the Nazir is not allowed to be metame himself in any occasion, except one occasion when there's no other person around, and then even, as we said before, Kohen Gadol is metame. Daki, you with me on this? Yeah, you hear the Socket Shover's kasha. I mean, basically, we presented initially our empathy with Rabbi Loza's approach based on, you know, two psukim. The Socket Shover now is basically turning the tables and asking, well, what are the Chachamim going to say to that argument? Isn't it clear that the Torah is more liberal and more lenient in the case of Kohen than in the case of Nazir? And the Socket Shover comes off with a very revolutionary chiddush, which I wanted to share with you. And this chiddush of the Socket Shover borders on what I would call philosophy. You know, it's a halachic answer. I'm not going to argue that. It's a lumdish answer. But you know what? It's almost hashkafetik. He says the following. What makes a Kohen into a Kohen? He was born a Kohen. Says the Socket Shover, that's already a family relationship. The family relationship, his ties to his father, engender his Kedushas Kahuna. The father made you into a Kohen. And now you're going to turn around and say, Dad, I can't bury you. I'd like to bury you, but I can't because I'm a Kohen. Says the Socket Shover, Minayin, from whence do you derive your Kedushas Kahuna? From your father, again, father representing, in this case, the family, okay, we'll see about what his wife, that's going to be the complicated discussion. And now you're going to turn on your family and say, "Oh, I'm a Kohen. I can't be metaving myself and buried." What a chutzpah! That's not the language of the Sukkot. That's already Berzon talking. But what I mean to say is, how can you be such an ingrate and undermine the entire source and root of your kedusha as a Kohen by saying, "You know what? I'm going to implement my kahuna," and then slap your father, so to speak, in the face by saying, "Dad, I'm not going to bury you." The very fact that your kedusha as a Kohen emanates from your relation to your father, that itself is the reason, the basis for the Torah's allowing the Kohen to be metame himself. Not so in the case of Nazir. Nazir is a self-imposed kedusha. He didn't inherit the kedusha. Says the Sukkot Shavuot, we have two paradigms, two models of kedusha. There's inherited kedusha, and there's self-imposed or self-accepted kedusha. And that's the Nazir, or shall we say the Kohen on the one side and the Nazir on the other side. The Nafkamina is going to be Tumas Krovim. Tumas Krovim, in the case of inherited Kedusha, is going to be permitted. But Tumas Krovim, in the sense of self-accepted Kedusha, the Nazir doesn't owe any debt of gratitude. He doesn't owe Yashar Koach to his family for having accepted upon himself and entered into Kedushas Nazirus. And therefore, in other words, it comes out according to the Sukkot Shavuot that basically Kedushas HaGavra, whether it's that of Kahuna or that of a Nazir, is antithetical to Tumah, and that applies even to Krovin. But there's a new Svara that the Torah formulated in the case of Kohen with regard to his Krovin that would permit the Kohen and obligate the Kohen, right? We said it's an obligation to have reverence and respect and gratitude towards his family and therefore violate his Kedushas Kuna. By violating his Kedushas Kuna, he's really being Makayim is Kedushas Kuna. Why? Because he's declaring in no words but in actions that my Kedushas Kuna is the Kedusha that I got inherited from my family. Says the Sukkot Shavuot. That's what the Torah means when it says Kohanim Bnei Aaron. The word Kohanim is an explanation of Pasuk Aleph. The words Bnei Aaron is an explanation of Pasuk Beis. The Torah wants to, on the one hand, you know, the Torah is presenting a very paradoxical situation. On the one hand, the Torah is saying, you know what, you're a Kohen. That's Kedushas HaGavra. And therefore, lo yitame li'amav, you should not be mitame yourself. But then the Torah turns around and says, you know what, you are a Ben Aaron. You come from Aaron HaKohen. You have to have respect for your source of your Kedusha. And therefore, ki im l'sh'era ha'korav elav, li'aviv, li'imo, etc., etc., for them you have to bury them. Again, we still have to, you know, address a different question. How is the Sukkot Shavuot going to explain why the Kohen is metame himself for his wife? Somehow she got swallowed up, so to speak, in this entity called Krovim, even though she in no way was responsible. He doesn't owe her a debt of gratitude for his Kedusha. The Nazir, on the other hand, has the Kedushas Nazir, but he doesn't have the Bnei Aaron concept. It was a Kedusha that he accepted upon himself. He owes no gratitude to his family. And therefore we go back to square one, and that Kedusha should not be violated even for the sake of his
Kedusha. Is the fact that you have to show gratitude to your family a factor that lessens the Kedusha? Or that shows that that's more important than the Kedusha?
In a sense, more important, or actually say, this is the source of my Kedusha. It's a declaration that my Kedusha as a Kohen is inherent in my family relationship. And that family relationship always engenders a chiyuv of kvura li'achar misa. That's why, for example, Rachmana Litzlan, a person loses a parent, he's responsible for burial. The Gemara, the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Bracha says he's parted from all the mitzvahs. Remember, Harvey, we had a long discussion about this. He is totally preoccupied with the mitzvah of kvura. That is the greatest and most fundamental element of respect. You have to respect as a Kohen your father for your Kedushas Kahuna. If you're going to say, well, I insist on my Kedushas Kahuna at the expense of my respect for the source of my Kahuna, namely for my Chi of Kvura to visit me my father, then you're basically undermining your whole Kedusha. So therefore, by declaring this is my Kedusha as a Kohen, Adarabba, on the contrary, I will bury my father because that is my Kedusha as Kuna. I am a Ben Aaron. That's what the Torah is saying in this parasha. That's how the Sukkot Shavuot presents.
So quickly, he was trying to say the Kedusha is more in the case of one or the other. You can't compare it, you can't discuss it when it comes to bearing gears because it's got nothing to do with Kedusha.
Right, it could be very well be, as the Chacham insists, the Kedusha of a Kohen supersedes, is greater than that of a Nazir. And yet, paradoxically, the Kohen, because of his special status as Ben Aaron, in other words, the fact that his Kedusha is inherited, that's why the Torah insists that he be metame himself to his Krovim, even though the SM Kedusha of Kohen is greater than that. The Rav Kimi is going to be, say, the Chacham in the case of, of mes mitzvah, which has nothing to do with inherited, and in that case we deal with the Nazir and Kohen on equal ground. Well, whose Kedusha is greater? Say the Chachamim, the Kedusha of a Kohen is greater, because inherited Kedusha, which is a Kedushas Olam, is greater than temporary Kedusha in the case of the Nazir who accepted upon himself Kedusha. Therefore, Yitamei Nazir v'al Yitamei Kohen. Now I found something very fascinating in the name of the Chassam Sofer, which I want to share with you. And this I found in a sefer called Hei Meyinachamuni. Are you familiar with this? It's sort of a it's not a printed book. It's like, you remember, again I'm dating myself, we used to call it stencils. Do you remember that word, stencils? I probably haven't heard that word in a good couple of years. It's stencils, and it says the following: Kosav Haksam Sofer Lahakshos Kusha Chamura Lechosno Hagon Rabbi Kiveg. You know that the Haksam Sofer was married to Rabbi Kiveg's daughter. And there's a tradition that the Haksam Sofer had a very strong question, and he thought that the only person on the face of the earth who could answer this question was so stark would be his Shver, Rabbi Kiveg, who was the genius of that generation, the genius of many generations. What was this kash? Now you know that Shas is divided up into two parts. It's Mishnayis and it's Brisos. And these Brisos are often called what we called Mesechtos Ketanos. Correct? So with regard to the Brisos that compile the laws of Tumas Kohanim, we have what's called Mesechtos Smachos. Have you heard of it? All the laws of Avelus are encoded in Masechtos Smachos. Now listen carefully to Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet.
Smachos is the word Sabu.
It's a Lashon Saginor, a Lashon Simcha, even though it's really Avelus, the opposite. Okay? So Masechtos Smachos, which is dedicated to the laws of Kvura and Avelus and Misa, quotes a case of a coin. Oh. Now listen carefully. There's a Reisha and a Sefer. The Reisha is very, very difficult, and that's going to be the Kasha of the Chassam Sofer, and I'm going to present to you the Reisha. But I always like to start with that which is easier and simpler, and that's going to be the Sefer. But we're going to do a Keseder, because I'm not going to change the order of the Masechtos Smachos. Okay. Kohen Gadol Nasa Alman. Now you know that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Basula, and if he marries an Almana who's already been married and she was widowed, he violates an Iser of Kohen Gadol. Eino Metame. The Masechtos Smachos says that since this was a marriage in sin, therefore he doesn't bury her. Then the Braisa goes on and says Kohen Hejot Shenasa Grusha. A regular rank and file Kohen marries a Grusha. He's not allowed to do so. When she dies, ain't a mitamin. He doesn't bury her. Says the Chassam Sofer, Bishleim, I understand the Sefer very well. Kohen Hejot is not allowed to be mitamin to his wife who's a Grusha. Had she not been a Grusha, in other words, if the marriage would have been beheter. Now keep in mind, again, this is a long discussion, but Kedushin Tosin b'chayvei lav. Now, we're familiar with that principle. So Grusha to a Kohen is called chayvei lav, and therefore the Torah recognizes the validity of the marriage. She is Ishto, and therefore the normal halacha that a Kohen is mitame to his wife logically should have applied even in the case of Grusha, because she's married and the Torah recognizes Tfisus Kedushin. The price is Macharish Achidish, that since this marriage was Ba'avera, Eino Metami Le'ishto. Aval, he says, but what about the Reisha? The Reisha is talking about a Kohen Gadol who married an Almana. And there is Tfisus Kedushin Ba'avera in this case. He says, I don't understand. A Kohen Gadol is not metami to any wife that he has. Let's say he married a Basula and she died. Does he bury her? No, the Kohen Gadol doesn't bury any of his relatives. So you're telling me that because this was Ba'avera, it was an Almana, therefore he's not metami. What are you telling me? Pshita, like, even had she not been an Avera, meaning had it been a Basula, not an Almana, he would not be Metamiya. So in the case of a Kohen Grusha, married a Grusha, at least had she not been a Grusha, clearly he would have been Metamiya. That's the parasha at the beginning of Emor. But in the case of a Kohen Gadol, he's not Metamiya to any of his Zayin Krovim. And he felt at some sofa that the only one who could possibly come up with an answer to this question is Rabbi Kivay. Now, Rabosai, what I'm going to try to do, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Kivega had in mind. The language is beyond my comprehension. Everyone is welcome to photocopy this and go through it on their own. I'm going to just tell you what I think Rabbi Kivega had in mind. And if he didn't have in mind, Chatasi Avisi Pashai. We have two models of Kedusha. We have a Kohen. Forget about Kohen Gadol for a minute. And we have a Nos. What's the fundamental difference between this Kedusha and that Kedusha? Remember,
the source.
One is inherited and the other is self-accepted. Where would you place the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol?
That's similar to a Nazir, in that it also could be a temporary thing.
Okay. So, Doc, you're on a different, slightly different, wavelength than I am. I'm focused on this. There's inherited kedusha and there's self-imposed or self-accepted kedusha. Where would you classify a Kohen Gadol?
Inherited, self-imposed.
You're both right. This is what we call in Brisk Tzvei Dinim. You familiar with that? There's an overlap here of two dimensions. How does a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol? He has to be appointed by the Sanhedrin. And on what basis will Sanhedrin decide which candidate will be accepted? In America now we have a big election year. I'm sure you know about it, Doc. And the question is, who will be elected as the President of the United States? I'm afraid this time it's going to be a woman. I don't know. I'm not sure. But okay. Not that I have anything against women, but I'm not a big fan of that particular woman. But be that as it may, no politics here. Because I don't think there are any very good candidates that, any counter candidates. So I might have to vote for a woman. I don't know. We'll see. So which candidate will be elected by a Sanhedrin as a Kohen Gadol? So comes along, we'll call him Aaron HaKohen. I don't mean Aaron, but a Kohen by the name of Aaron the Kohen, right? And he says the following. He comes in front of the Sanhedrin, and he says, "Mein Tata's gewesen a Kohen Gadol. My father was a Kohen Gadol. Why can't I be a Kohen Gadol?" Does he automatically inherit the position of Kohen Gadol? Nein. Bezdin, the Sanhedrin Agdola, 71 elders, is going to decide, do we have a better candidate than him? Someone who's proven himself to be superior. The Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Mehilchos Klei Migdosh that if you have two candidates that are exactly equal, one is the son of the Kohen Gadol, he will get preference. He'll get precedence. But barring that very rare case, the decision is made by Sanhedrin on the basis of Yichus Atzmi. Don't tell me that your father was the Kohen Gadol. I'm not interested. I want to know if you're worthy of being the Kohen Gadol. And if we have someone who's more worthy, another Kohen who's not the son of a Kohen Gadol, but he's more worthy than you are, he and not you will be elected as the Kohen Gadol. But on the other hand, fundamentally, a Kohen Gadol can't be a Kohen Gadol unless he's Mibnei Aaron. So basically, I think both of you gentlemen are correct. It's Elu v'Elu. You're both right. There are two dimensions to the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol. There's one Kedusha that he inherited from his father. That's the fundamental Kedusha. But that's not enough. That will not clinch it for him and guarantee his candidate, his election, if there are better candidates. He needs also a Kedusha that he carved out, that he achieved on his own through his own sweat and toil. In that sense, we have Tzvei Dinim in a Kohen Gadol. He's a Kedushas Kohen, he's also Kedushas Nazir. In fact, I would say the following. If the Kohen Gadol inherited his position and that's it, if that's what the halacha were, which is incorrect, then a Kohen Gadol should be metami to a Zion Krovim, no less than a Kohen Edjo. It's only a Nazir who can't be metame to a Kohen, to a Zion Krovin, because his Kedusha is self-created. But if a Kohen Gadol inherits his Kedusha, then in that sense he's Mibnei Aaron, then he should respect his father and bury his father. The answer is no. A Kohen Gadol is a connection, is a combination of both. He's the overlap. He is a Kohen, and he is Bnei Aaron, and he must be Bnei Aaron, but at the same time, he's got to be a Nazir. You know, I'm using the word Nazir as a catchphrase, as a code word. Conceptually, he needs to create that and be worthy and suitable to be elected as the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, insofar as he has Kedushas Nazir, which he himself generated through his own sweat and toil, he's not going to be metame to the Zion Krovim, just like a Nazir is not metame to the Zion Krovim. Comes along Rabbi Kiveger and he says the following. This Kohen Gadol is a Knapper Kohen Gadol. Who did he marry? He married an Almona. You know what? In my eyes, in the eyes of the Halacha, he's like a Kohen Hedget. I could not grant him that extra Kedusha of a Nazir. He's not a Nazir. A Nazir works very hard to achieve that Kedusha. This Kohen Gadol, by marrying an Almona, has violated that increment between the basic Kedusha of a Kohen of a Bnei Aaron and the additional Kedusha that he carves out and he achieves on his own. Therefore, let's downgrade him to the status of what? A regular Kohen. And therefore, if he married an Almona, let him bury her. Comes along the price of the Tosefta Masechta Smachos is his name. Even though, you're right, he should really be Metame himself, his wife. But the problem is that he married her Avera. And if the Nisuin was a Nisui Avera, then there's no Tumah on behalf of the Kohen. And not only that, even a regular Kohen who's metame himself to the Zion Krovim, if the marriage was by Vera, i.e. he married a Grusha, then he's not metame himself.
So it seems to me though that...
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I don't know if you guys are enjoying this as much as I am.
But my question would be as follows. According to what, you know, how we explained Rabbi Kiva Eger, and it seems that the addition of the Naziris aspect of the Kohen Gadol,
right,
elevates the Kedusha, which means that when we said before that it seems it's a shayla to the Chachamim, because you asked me which is more kadosh than the Nazir or the Kohen, and we answered could be that the Kohen is, but he has this familial attachment,
right.
But here we see that it's the Nazir's aspect that's elevating the Kohen Gadol beyond the Kohen,
right? Because what? The increment between Kedushas Kohuna of a regular Kohen Hedjet, and that of a Kohen Gadol is the Naziris element. Meaning, once the Kohen Gadol has made himself worthy and suitable to be the Kohen Gadol, to be elected as such because he worked on himself, he now gets that additional element which is independent of the and not related to the familial connection of a Nazir. And therefore, forget about being metami yourself to the Zion Krovim. If, on the other hand, the Nazir will somehow forfeit that increment because he no longer deserves to be the Kohen Gadol, again, I don't know the halachas if we depose the Kohen Gadol because he married an Almona, that has to be studied. Again, has to be taken under advisement. But at least on a conceptual level, we can accept the principle that he no longer deserves to gain that extra dimension of Kedusha that takes him from Kohen Hedjot all the way to a Kohen Gadol. And namely, the Kedusha which he himself deserves through his own sanctity, his own personal creation of sanctity. He doesn't deserve to be added, to add to his Kedusha the element of Nazir. Then you know what? Let him be Metami to his Krovim. just like a Kohen, by virtue of the familial Bnei Aaron relationship, is Metami to his relatives, so too a Kohen Gadol now, who's Bavera, should be Metami to his relatives. Kamash Malah, no. He should be Metami to his relatives, but in the case of Ishto Ba'avera, whether it's the Kohen Hedjot who marries a Grusha Ba'avera, or the Kohen Gadol marries an Almana Ba'avera, there's no din of being Metami.
I come from thinking about the practicality of it. I mean, this might be very wrong what I'm thinking. But the Kohen has got Kedusha for his whole life. It would be impractical to ask him not to bury his relatives. Whereas the Nazir is taken on for a month. In that month, the chances of somebody dying his family are less. In other words, you always have another chance.
But still, if his father dies within the 30-day period of his nazirus, it's unbelievable. The halach is very harsh and says, you know what, you're not allowed to bury your father. Why? Because there's no element, as Sakachar would say, of gratitude that I owe to my friend. I just want to conclude our discussion by asking you the following question, which has to be analyzed. A Talmud Chacham who studies Torah also has Kedusha. And there's a whole list of Isurim that apply in terms of the behavior of a Talmud Chacham that emanate from the fact that he too has Kedusha. His Kedusha is not Kedusha's Kahuna, it's not Kedusha's Nazirus, it's Kedusha's HaTorah. And I'd love to know, how is that Kedusha effectuated? How does it evolve? Shall we subsume it under Kedusha's Kahuna? Or shall we subsume it under Kedusha's Nazir? Again, I'm not asking the question whether he's Metami LeMason, but I'm asking just on a theoretical, abstract level, if we have these two paradigms of Kedusha, one that's inherited, and one is that is accepted through one's work, you know, where he develops the Kedusha, where would you place the Kedusha of a Talmud Chacham? So I'll tell you what I think. Doc, I think there is a very complex matrix here in terms of the Kedusha of a Talmud Chacham. The Torah says, Morasha Hikilas Yaakov. What does Morasha mean? Morasha is an inheritance. In other words, if a person's father is a Talmud Chacham, then although I can't guarantee him beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is going to vax a Talmud Chacham, but the chances are very great that he will. In fact, in the case of marriage, the Torah actually advocates marrying a bas Talmud Chacham, shekein hi makeres Torah. That if you marry a bas Talmud Chacham, like my friend Noam Konigsberg did, then the chances are that you marry a woman who's going to raise the children for Torah. But on the other hand, there are statements in Chazal that indicate Hizaru b'bnei aniyim shemihem teitzei Torah, that Torah is not an inheritance, that Torah is something that a person has to work for, work on, and achieve on his own. I think that Talmud Torah, like the Kohen Gadol in a sense, has two different elements to it. And it's fascinating to me that the halacha always compares the Talmud Chacham to a Kohen Gadol. Like, for example, let's say you have a Talmud Chacham who has no yichus at all. He's a mamzer. And the question is, to whom do we give kavod first? A mamzer Talmud Chacham or a Kohen Gadol? And the Gemara says that a mamzer Talmud Chacham takes precedence over the Kohen Gadol. Yekarahimi pninim. Pninim is a reference to the Kohen Gadol who wore the pninim. And Yekarahi is a reference to the Torah. The Kedushat Torah supersedes even that of a Kohen Gadol. But you see that the fact that the Halach was comparing a Talmud Chacham to a Kohen Gadol means that there's an element here of Morasha Hikilas Yaakov, and that is the Kedushas Kohun of a Talmud Chacham. But on the other hand, the Chazal say that Haskein Atzmecha, you remember this is a mission in Pirkei Avos, Haskein Atzmecha Lilmod Torah She'eino Yerusha Lecha. Work very hard with great toil and effort. We call Yigia B'Torah because Ein Hi Yerusha Lecha. There's no such thing as claiming I inherited the status as a Talmud Chacham. In that sense, I think the Kedushas HaTorah of Talmud Chacham is most similar to that of a Nazir. It's self-achieved. And Omar of Yosef, Mifnei Ma, Ein Mitzuyin Talmidei Chacham, Lotzeis Talmidei Chacham B'neim. It's not always the case that a Talmid Chacham will be born from a Talmid Chacham, or that a Talmid Chacham will give birth to a Talmid Chacham. Shelo Yomru Torah Yerusha Hilohem. People should not come to the conclusion and think, hey, you know why he's a Talmid Chacham? Because his father was a Talmid Chacham. But on the other hand, the Gemara tells us in Bav Metzia, Kol Shu Talmid Chacham is B'no, is a Talmud Chacham, Uben Beno is a Talmud Chacham, is Shuv Ein HaTorah Posekes Mizar Ol Yolo. That if there are three consecutive generations, the father, the son, and the grandson, that are all Talmud Chachamim, that you're guaranteed Ein HaTorah Posekes Mizar Ol Yolo. That this family will always, always have Talmud Chacham.
Where does that come from?
That's from Metzia Daf Pei Heyom and Aleph. And the first member was a Gemara in the Nedarim Pei Aleph also. So it's both, it's easy to remember, Pei Aleph, Pei Hei, that's Nedarim and Bav Metzia. So we see that Torah and the Kedusha of Torah is really a combination of these two models. And, you know, yesterday I commemorated my father's Yahrzeit of Zion, of Vav Adar. Today is already Zion Adar. I worked like a dog yesterday because, in addition to giving my three regular shiurim on Shabbos, I davened for the Amud four times and I said the maftir. It was like real masochism, but you know, once a year I have my father's yahrzeit, and I really believe, you know, as divrei ha'aracha, as we say, to evaluate my father, that he was a beautiful combination of these two kedushos. His grandfather, who was very close to Reb Chaim Ozer back in Litta, was the Malavin in Shtut, and the boys in my great grandfather's class were usually 16 years old. And after learning with my great grandfather, his name is Rav Yitzchok Sork, and we have one picture of him, they would get shipped off to the yeshiva gedolos, you know, to the greater yeshivas. My father was 12 years old back in Litta, and my great-grandfather decided that my father is an Elui, we're going to take him into the class. So he was sitting there at the age of 12 with the 16-year-old. Again, that might be nepotism, I don't know, but it hasn't been. But on the other hand, my father came to America at the age of 12. He had a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim before he came to America. It's very interesting because in those days, Hasidim, if they couldn't get to the Rebbe, especially Chabad, because you know Chabad are Lithuanian Hasidim to some extent, mean White Russian, Lithuania. So what did they do? Who was the substitute Rebbe to get a bracha if you couldn't go to Lubavitch? You went to the Chofetz Chaim. And my father's father took my father to the Chofetz Chaim and he got a bracha. And from that point on in life, it was what I call Kedushas Nazir. I mean, my father came to America at the age of 12. His family settled in Akron, Ohio, because the Lithuanians, you know, they settled in America. If they got by Ellis Island, they settled wherever the Landsman settled. So the Landsman from my father's shtetl, which was called Plisa, they settled in Akron, Ohio. And my father, imagine, at the age of 12, I'm not going to Akron. There are no yeshivas in Akron. I don't want to go to Akron. He was a Talmud of his grandfather. He says, I want to continue the learning, and he stayed in New York. And he went to Rav Yitzchak Chanan. There was a dean by the name of Zar, Dean Zar, Al-Hashom. He was not one of the most popular guys, but my father loved him to pieces because he took in my father at the age of 12. He made a bar mitzvah for him when he was 13. He got him a dorm room. He made sure that he studied English. And my father was elected as valedictorian in college. Imagine, he came to 12 at the age of 12. He didn't know a word of English. He graduated Yeshiva College at the age of 21. He was a self-made man. He really was. Again, the basis came from his familial relationships, but he created himself. He built himself up. And that is what Torah is all about. There's no guarantee that you could inherit Torah. Your father may have been the Rav of this and the Rav of that, the Rashiva of this yeshiva, that yeshiva. Ain't no guarantees. And even if your father was not a Talmud Chacham, you can be a great Talmud Chacham. So Yiratza, may it be his will that we zokra learn Torah and to be sanctified and uplifted by the Torah. Ken Yiratza. Amen.